Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Wednesday, we'll talk about the best organic gardening methods on how homeopathy helps to grow great gardens. A show co-hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Bruck and international expert agro-homeopath Kavi Raj. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts and questions. Let's go!
I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community. Today I'm going to be speaking with a special co-host, Mark Moody of Considera, and he's going to talk with us about biodynamic agriculture. And I would like to just tell you today is March 9th, 2011. You're listening to show number 19 of How Homeopathy Helps Grow Great Gardens. Our regular co-host, Kavi Raj, is away in Greece and does not have any internet connection that's going to get us to listen to him today. So I do appreciate everyone who is joining in for this special radio show, and I'd like to tell you that on Mondays at noon, we have the regular Study the Organon with me. On Wednesday, it's our organic gardening show at noon. Thursday, we have Vaccinations and Your Rights with Alan Phillips, also at noon. And the first Thursday of each month, we have Constitutional Law with Greg Glazer. On Sunday, we have a brand new show, Midnight Meditations, with me. And we're up to, I think, show number 5 or 6 coming up. And that is to nurture our souls while we're nurturing our gardens and our environment and everything that we have to take care of in this world. Mark, I'm so happy you're with us. Say hello to everybody.
Thank you, Deborah. hello, everybody.
Yeah. Why don't you just tell them how it is that we got together on this project and that I invited you to speak.
I'm not exactly sure, but I'm the guy who published Kavi Raj's book, the one that you have on the front of the site there. And I guess through Kavi Raj and his many, many connections all over the world, he made that link for us.
That's right. I think that is exactly how we met. And during the period in time when the Haiti earthquake occurred, you were quite active on the website, and that's when we got to speak with each other. So it's been a while, since over a year since then. We're going to be talking about biodynamic agriculture, and that has to do with planting by the stars and using ashes to deter pests and weeds and using different kinds of preparations in infinitesimal doses to improve the land and the compost. There's probably a lot of detailed information about how you go about getting in rhythm with nature. And you're going to introduce to us the connection between biodynamic agriculture and agro-homeopathy, which is what Kavi Raj focuses on.
Yeah, that's right. Would you like me to have a go at that now?
Yes, please.
Okie dokie. The connection is that biodynamics and agrohomeopathy are using very, very small amounts, and in many cases zero, the potentized dose, to have an effect on agriculture, horticulture, floriculture, silviculture. But the older discipline is really the biodynamics, and essentially it was a child of Rudolf Steiner, who many people may know from the anthroposophical agriculture medicine, or the Rudolf Steiner schools, also known as Waldorf schools. He was born in 1860. He died in 1925. But a year before he died, he gave 8 lectures. It was the kind of time where people communicated via lectures. And he gave 8 lectures in a place which is now in Poland, which is called Kobowitz. That's a big estate belonging to a chappie called Count von Keyserlingk. And these 8 lectures are very difficult to understand. They live in a worldview that isn't particularly fashionable at the moment, which I think one could fairly say is an alchemical worldview. The scientific view we have now is that we do something material in our garden and the plants grow into space. But the alchemical view is that that space is in fact the macrocosm connected to the plant or to the human as a microcosm. And therefore what happens in one of those spaces will have its impact on the other.
Is that the phrase as above, so below?
It is indeed. Yes, that's one interpretation of it indeed.
And was he also against the grain during his time, or was he in harmony with what the people had a worldview of at that time?
No, he was definitely against the grain.
Okay.
The material worldview is the one that we homeopaths are still fighting, even if we haven't signed up to any other particular worldview. But at his time, materialism was really in full pelt, and it was very exciting, and electricity and locomotives and wonderful machines like this were all grabbing people's attention. And in fact, in the agricultural field, there's a chap called Justus von Liebig, who considered a field, an agricultural field, just like a test tube, if you like. And he said, if I grow something and we take, say, a few tons of wheat off per hectare, then in that test tube stroke field, there will be that much less nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and trace elements. And therefore, we have to put something back in, or it will be... there will not be those nutrients there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So just by having the ash of those plants, that was the beginning of the fertilizer industry, which took over from the peasant wisdom, which was manure and compost, etc. So
that's where they went wrong.
Right.
So that was how it went off the beaten path to...
He was miles off the beaten path.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in these lectures, he first of all established how one can see that the human has the same rhythms as one sees in the stars and the planets, such as the menstrual cycle following the moon. But he pointed out that clearly it doesn't, not all of the female population menstruates as the moon is in one phase and then carries on right the way through. He talked about 11.6 year sun cycles and grain crops. So with the human, there's some emancipation from those rhythms in the macrocosm. He said with the animal, there is slightly more divorced from those cosmic rhythms. But a plant is almost entirely like a bioassay or a reflection of what's happening in the heavens at that time. And therefore, one can look at the moon phases, for instance, and one would expect the plants to respond in rhythm with those moon phases. And he gave a whole science of how one can make use of that rather than just peasant wisdom, much of which was corrupt and not very useful. Now, the problem with waiting for the stars to click into position to do your planting is you're a kind of slave to the calendar. It doesn't give you any freedom, and it doesn't take into account the weather and many, many things. So he gave what was called the preparations as a way to bring the same influences that one would get through the different starry positions to liberate oneself from the slavery of time. So if one understood these preparations, one could give those impulses that plants need, but not have to wait. One could do it as the issue arose. So he gave 7 or 8 major preparations, 2 which are stirred for an hour and sprayed on the fields, others which are usually put in the compost, And that was the basis, the Grundlage. He was a German speaking person. The basics of biodynamics, which has carried on ever since 1924. But I'd like to introduce another character whose name was Lily Kalisko. And Lily Kalisko was working with Rudolf Steiner and a few other people to test out these biodynamic preparations. And she also potentized them as in a Hahnemannian way to see what the different potencies would do. So Steiner, having given these sort of eight remedies that covered the spectrum of issues, she began to aim her shots, if you like, or to become more specific by potentizing the remedies in a Hahnemannian way. And there's a book called Agriculture of Tomorrow, which is like a scientific report of the work she did. And it's phenomenal. It's just a superhuman effort from the 1920s up until the Second World War, where she shows charts of how plant growth responds to the different potencies of the same material, these primarily the seven preparations. And I can't recommend that book highly enough, just because it's early scientific work with the potencies on plants, and therefore the placebo issue, one assumes, is somewhat kicked into the long grass. And you know, it's good science, and like it or not, the arbiter of what is acceptable in our culture nowadays is the scientific paradigm. Mm-hmm. What would you like to hear about that, Deborah? Keep me on track.
I'm listening very intently and learning a lot of new information that I've not really heard before. What I was going back to what you said about being liberated from the slavery of time, that kind of touched a chord with me, because in a way, man creates time, and yet we are bound by it because of the rhythms of the planets, that we have seasons, we have night and day, we have all of these phases that we are bound by. Unfortunately, the electric bulb, electricity has turned our switch off in terms of doing the right thing for our own bodies in living in harmony with light and dark. But I feel that we will always be slaves to time and what we are in order to live a wholesome life, that we do have to be living in tune with nature and nature's rhythm. I don't know whether that took you totally off stream, but that is
Not really. Personal
philosophy.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing how much one wants to be completely in tune with nature. I mean, does one hibernate all winter? Does one mate only in spring? You know, there's there's a limit to how much I want to be totally part of that clockwork. Mm-hmm. And I think it does. There's obviously a balance. You know, if you were in the 24-hour culture, shift working constantly under neon lights, it's going to do you in. Mm-hmm. So somehow one has a relationship to the seasons which is slightly different from a plant or, a grizzly bear, which can honor the dignity.
We took a breakaway, and I would like to remind people that Kaviraj has written a fantastic book on agrohomeopathy called Farm and Garden. Take a look at that. Click on it from the Homeopathy World Community website. And now we're going to get back to our regular programming.
A 24-hour periodicity of light and dark and the natural cycles of the sun, the stars, the planets, the moon, and you were talking about how man does not always live in direct relationship to that. And when you were talking about man has his and her own cycles as well, mm-hmm. So it doesn't necessarily have to be exactly the same as when you typically think of hibernating in the winter. man doesn't necessarily have to hibernate in the winter or mate in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own natural biorhythms that doesn't exactly fit in with what you typically think of in the animal world. Would you not say that?
I would agree, yes. I would say that we've taken something from nature in those rhythms, but we do have some emancipation from them. We're not totally governed by them. We don't have to follow those rhythms.
Right.
And when in the lectures Steiner was giving, he was saying that the plants, though, however, don't have that choice.
Right.
You know, spring comes, they're going to shoot, and autumn comes, they're going to fruit, and winter comes, they're going to senesce. That's kind of a given. But
right. So let's focus on what the plants have to do and how you are able to harmonize with what their requirements.
Okay. Well, let's say you have there's a kind of archetypal good year for growing, where it's warm enough and wet enough in spring, so the germination occurs. And as a grower, what one would like would be the leafing phase to be lush and robust and vital. Whereas in the autumn, you're looking for that vitality to sort of be channeled into a different route, into the fruiting and the sugars and the flavor. These processes aren't sort of sequential one after the other, they merge into each other. But in that original phase of from the seed, you want to get the good germination, you want to get the robust and vital plant, and then as the summer comes on and the warmth and the light is increasing, then the leaves themselves, physically, you know, if you take the leaves from the spring and the ones later in the year, they will be smaller, they will be more formed, and eventually they will sort of almost disappear into the calyx of the plant, and then the flowers will emerge. And of course, that's followed by the fruit. This is an archetypal annual plant. So there are years when that doesn't quite go as one would wish, as every farmer and gardener knows to their cost. So the preparations that Steiner gave enable one to support one or other of those functions that may not be naturally humming along at the level you'd want to. So if you have a particularly dry spring and the germination isn't particularly exemplary and the plants aren't beginning to grow as well as you like, the preparation we'd use is called 500 in biodynamics. The problem we have over in the UK is the opposite one, where it's always, well, not always, but the stereotype is not far from true. It's grey. And you're not really going to get those really lovely long hot summers more than one in 10 years. So the preparation that one would look at more then is the 501, which is sprayed on the plants to bring up the flavors, increase the sugars, and get that whole pole of the plant humming away.
Mm-hmm.
So if one has got a good appreciation of what these different preparations do, the seven or eight that are there, one can be like a co-creator or part of the, you're like an artist who says, okay, this plant is lacking the light it needs at this stage in its growth, therefore I will put in 506, 501, 507, or if it's just never getting away, it's had a bad start to life, one would maybe look at the 500 and the 502. So you've got a palette. It's a very different from homeopathy, where everything has come via the provings and the poisonings and the materia medica. And in that way is essentially a trial and error is not quite the right word. It's empirical. That there's no obvious principles to guide you as to which plant to use. It has to be someone's tried it, found out something, and then the information gets shared. Whereas in biodynamics, you're using the similar kind of approach in that it's potentized and put on the plants, but you do have this model in the background of how and when to apply. And if your artistry and your study is sufficient, you can therefore get involved with your plants in the appropriate way at the appropriate time.
Mm-hmm. And there are eight specific potentized
biodynamics from 500 to 508. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. No, it's actually those nine. There's two that go on the field, six in the compost, and one that's particularly used against fungi, which some people call one of the preparations. Some say it's just an organic herbal tea, if you like. But yes. So, but I was thinking that in relation to agrohomeopathy, I'd tell you this story about a course that we had in 2008, just when one of the farmers who came along to the course was run by a chap called Enzo Nastati. And the farmer, because he was away from his farm, had an apprentice who was looking after the place. And the apprentice rang him up and said, the cow has had a stillborn calf. And now she's retained the placenta, and she's beginning to lose condition herself. She's getting ill. Typical febrile loss of condition. And so the farmer was worried, and he had a word with the chappie, the Italian man, Enzo, who was running the course, and he said, "What do you think I can do?" And Enzo said, "Take preparation made from yarrow, Achillea millifolium, and we normally just take a little pinch, something the size of a walnut. Can you see that on there? You know, just a little circle that much. Drop it in a bucket, 5-gallon bucket, stir it for an hour. And when, with the biodynamic preparations, one normally stirs into a big vortex one direction in the bucket and then crunches it the other way. So you're getting vortices going left and right in alternation for an hour."
Mm-hmm.
So he said, "All right, if you think that'll help, you know, it's not antibiotics, it's not some adrenaline thing, it's not something to help deliver the placenta, but I'm going to trust you because it looks like we're probably just going to have to lose this cow if something doesn't work."
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they did. And he got the report that when they gave this preparation to the cow to drink, the cow lifted its tail, spraddled its bagged legs, and shot out this fetid, purulent material. And then got a little bit more condition over the weekend, and on the Monday it delivered the placenta, which was in good condition.
Mm-hmm.
So we asked Enzo what this was all about. How the hell did he know what to do? How was it so amazingly effective? And he said that with plants, the heavenly body, the planet, if you like, in this case, is the moon for plants. That's the big one. But when it comes to animals, it's really much more related to the planet Venus.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that Achillea is often known as Venus's eyebrows. If you've seen the yarrow, the leaves are very feathery. And one of the many names is Venus's eyebrows. It's the preparation that relates to that planet. And because we're dealing with animals, that's the way to go. And then he said something else, that yarrow has three phases, or Venus has three phases. And the first one is where it takes something in. So any process that has something taken in and initiates something is the first phase. The second phase is it elaborates it or works it up into a new state. And the third is when it sends on what it has developed from that initial impulse. And so the instance of a cow and a calf, of course, when it comes on heat and goes to the bull, or the artificial insemination occurs, that's the first phase. The second phase is the pregnancy, the gestation. The third phase is the delivery. And if you were to have a problem with the cow coming on heat or holding on to the calf, one would only stir for 20 minutes. If one was having trouble during the pregnancy, then one would stir for 40 minutes. And he said, do it for 60 minutes because this is the final stage, the delivery. And he said that if you go to the organon, back to Mr. Hahnemann, and this is the reason that I'm telling you this story, and you consider how Hahnemann suggests that one triturates. No doubt you're aware of how his suggestion for adding the sac lac to your non-soluble material for the trituration.
Many people listening wouldn't know this information.
So he's saying that if you've got a non-soluble material that you can't make a solution, a mother tincture from directly, say silica, what one would do would be to take the mortar and pestle, take the silica, and some Saclac, which is lactose from, essentially it's lactose milk sugar, it's known as, which is the inert medium in the little white pills if you get homeopathy in the pill form. But when you're making a remedy from something that isn't soluble, you put the silica in this example, and 1/3 of the milk sugar, and then you're grinding with a mortar, and then you're taking your spatula and cleaning the sides of the mortar.
You know what?
I don't know what.
The entire thing, I've got a mistake. We have to start over.
Yeah.
Oh,
joking.
My gosh. You know what? I'm so sorry. You know why?
I have no idea.
I am wearing my headset, and I just checked the recording button. And if I'm wearing my headset, it doesn't get any of the recording. It only hears me.
Okay.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. But I guess, you know, what is in the store? Do you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
What is it you use for recording? Do you use call recorder?
No, I was just using... I can't use call recorder.
Mm-hmm.
Because...